Chapter 7. I Love You. 4 days after Winston had seen the dark-haired woman in the street, he saw her again. It was the middle of the morning, and Winston was walking along a corridor in the ministry. She was walking towards him, and as she came nearer, he noticed that her right arm had a bandage round it. When she was about 4 meters away from him, she suddenly fell over and gave a cry of pain. She must have fallen on her injured arm. Winston stopped. The woman got up onto her knees, looking at him as if asking for help. Winston felt strange. This was an enemy who was trying to kill him, but she was also a human being and she was in pain. He moved towards her.
"Are you hurt?" he asked.
"It's nothing. My arm. It'll be all right in a second," she said.
"Have you broken anything?"
"No, I'm all right. It just hurt for a moment."
She held out her hand to him and he helped her up. She was starting to look better.
"It's nothing," she said. "Thanks, comrade."
Then she walked on down the corridor as though it really had been nothing. The whole event had probably taken less than half a minute. Winston had learned not to show his feelings on his face, but it had been hard not to look surprised when, as he was helping her up, she had put something into his hand. It was a small piece of folded paper. He went back to his cubicle and sat down, quickly pushing the piece of paper into the collection of documents on his desk. Then he pulled his speakwrite towards him and started to work.
"I mustn't open the paper for at least 5 minutes," he told himself. His heart was beating fast as he bent over his work. "There are two possibilities," he thought. "It's a message from the Thought Police, though I don't know why they would deliver a message in such a strange way. Or perhaps it's from some kind of underground organisation. Perhaps Goldstein's Brotherhood exists after all. Perhaps the woman belongs to it."
So part of his mind told him that the message meant death, but another part of his mind felt hope. Finally, Winston finished the piece of work he was doing. He put the papers into the tube. 8 minutes had passed. He pulled the next documents towards him, with the folded piece of paper among them. He unfolded it. There were 3 words on it. "I love you." For several seconds, he did not do anything. Although he knew it was dangerous to show any interest in anything, he quickly read the words again before he threw the piece of paper into the memory hole. For the rest of the morning, he found it very hard to work. At lunchtime, it was horrible to be in the noisy, crowded canteen. The afternoon was easier, as he had a long, difficult piece of work which took several hours to complete, and for more than 2 hours he succeeded in forgetting about the woman. Then the memory of her face came back, and he just wanted to be alone so he could think about what had happened. That evening, he went to the community centre. He was bored, but for once he did not mind being there. The sight of the words, "I love you," had made him want to stay alive and not take stupid risks. Finally, at 23 hours, when he was in bed, away from the telescreen and safe in the darkness, he was able to think. He knew now that the woman was not his enemy. He knew that she had been afraid when she handed him the note. Only 5 nights ago, he had thought about hitting her on the head with a stone, but now he thought of her young, naked, beautiful body, as he had seen it in his dream about the Golden Country. He was afraid that she would change her mind if he did not get in touch with her quickly. He decided that the safest place to meet her was the canteen. If she sat at a table by herself, somewhere in the middle of the room, not too near the telly screens, and with conversation going on all around, he could sit there too. Then they would be able to talk for a very short time. For a week after this, his life was like a bad dream. On the next day, she did not come to the canteen until he was leaving it. On the day after that, she was in the canteen, but with three other young women. Then, for three awful days, she did not appear at all. What had happened to her? She might have been vaporized. She might have been sent to the other end of Oceania. Worst of all, he was worried that she might have changed her mind. He did not sleep properly, and the only way he could escape from his worry was by working. The next day, Winston arrived at the canteen early. The woman was sitting at a table on her own, away from the telescreens. Winston carried his tray to her table, sat down opposite her, and started eating. They did not look at each other. Then, while they were eating, they had a very short conversation.
"What time do you leave work?" he whispered.
18:30, she replied quietly.
"Where can we meet?"
"Victory Square, near the monument."
"There are lots of telescreens."
"It doesn't matter if there's a crowd of people," she said. "Don't come up to me until you see me among a lot of people, and don't look at me."
"What time?"
19 hours.
"All right."
She finished her lunch quickly and left while Winston continued eating. Winston arrived early that evening in Victory Square. He walked among the crowds of people near the tall monument with its statue of Big Brother at the top. At 19:05, the woman still had not appeared. Winston felt afraid. She was not coming. She had changed her mind. Then, suddenly, there was shouting and the noise of heavy trucks. People began to run towards a road, and the young woman ran past him with them. Winston followed her. He pushed through the crowd and stood next to her as they watched a long line of trucks full of Eurasian prisoners going past them. The woman's cheek was close enough for him to feel its warmth. Her shoulder and her arm were pressed against his. She took control, as she had done in the canteen.
"Can you hear me?" she whispered.
"Yes."
"Can you get Sunday afternoon off work?"
"Yes."
"Then listen carefully. You'll have to remember this. Go to Paddington Station."
She gave Winston instructions about how to get to the place where they should meet, including a half-hour journey by train, a walk along a road, through a gate, onto a path, past a dead tree and into some woods. It was as if she had a map in her head.
"Can you remember all that?"
she asked finally.
"Yes. What time?"
"About 15. You may have to wait. I'll come a different way. Are you sure you can remember everything?"
"Yes."
"Then get away from me as quickly as you can."
But for the moment, they could not get out of the thick crowd. The trucks were still going past, and the people were watching quietly. The only foreigners they ever saw, whether Eurasian or East Asian, were prisoners, who were like strange animals to them. As Winston stood beside the woman, looking not at her but at the prisoners, she took hold of his hand. He felt her hand, touching her fingers, her nails, and her wrist. Although he only held it for a few seconds, Winston felt sure he would recognize it if he saw it.